Anyway, hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Romantically Lit podcast featuring two undercover hopeless romantics who kiki as a review different Black romance from across the diaspora. It is your girl Hana,
and I'm Odelia.
And on this week's episode, we are sunsetting. We are sunsetting one of our favorite books so far, which is The Neighbor Favor by Christina Forrest. Lordy, lordy, lord. We are going to go through the final chapters, but if you're joining us for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy post-Valentine's Day. I hope you got your flowers and your chocolates. So if you're joining us for the first time, I need you to go to your favorite audio streaming platform and go listen to the first chapter of this book, because we are going to be concluding and sharing spoilers and our thoughts, feelings, opinions, ratings, the whole nine yards and some. So do that before jumping into this one. And as always, in this little shack of ours that we call our podcast, we embrace all different types of love tropes, and we know for a fact we reviewed something just for you. And on that note, let us begin. Clink, clink.
Welcome, welcome back. As my Ting obsessed co-host stated, no, we don't mean Ting in the slang where we Ting the drink. She has an addiction. She needs help.
No. Every couple months, my body craves a particular source of sugar. This month, it's just Ting. And I've drank Ting before, but this time around, it's just tinging a little bit more than usual. It reminds me of the Bitter Lemon Crest. If you come to the continent, if you know I'm talking about, the Bitter Lemon Crest from Coca-Cola, it tastes like that.
Anyway, she has an addiction, so if you have help for her, send it our way. But as she stated, we are finishing off The Neighbor Favor. We very much have enjoyed this book, so just to get right back into it, last time we saw our characters, they were in New Jersey seeing Lily's family. Lily's parents had their joint birthday, and the whole family was there. Everybody was there. And they definitely, you know, kissed a little. They did a little something, something. A little, you know. But of course, our man Nick is like, no, I can't. Because he's a liar, because he hasn't told her that he's N.R. Strickland. Strickland? Yeah.
Strickland. N.R. Strickland.
Yeah, Strickland. Yes. And that's eating him up inside. His soul is like, because he hasn't said it yet. So anyway, so back to New York, and fam, what happened? You know,
the things that I'm waiting for you to tell me.
No, I'm gonna tell you.
Back to New York, he's a little bit upset that he has done that. They hadn't. Now I think 2 weeks have passed, or a week has passed.
Yeah, they haven't really been talking to each other.
Yes, and she's back to her regular scheduling programming, which is working with that
suffering
older lady at work who doesn't know how to attach emails, you know, files. Crazy. At the same time, N.R. Nicholas is working on his book, and so he meets up with Marcus, and they go through his storyline. So his first chapter. So how his first book ended, it ended on a cliffhanger. I believe like one of his characters had just like gone through like a battle in the war, and he was finally there, but then he looked around and there were these leeches that were invading the area they were in, and it just ends there. So we don't even know like what his next outcome is going to be. So Marcus does that thing that I love when people do this, when they start throwing you like, okay, they start throwing you like prompts for you to like try and answer and figure out what your the next storyline should be. And so he said that maybe this person here needs to have something to motivate him to do what he needs to do next. And so it may be a love interest, you know, maybe something, add something in there. So it's just to help him just come up with something.
I do think that this is the fault of, like, because the elves of Paragon, they are based so much on his own life, like his struggles with his father and stuff. So like, I find it like,
yes,
it must be so hard to now write a sequel where, like, if you've already drawn inspiration from your own life and now you have to draw more inspiration from like said life, like it just seems like a lot. Seems like a lot, guys.
I mean, like when you're creative and you're writing, doing art, you're always writing something that reflects your own personal being as well. So you're always going to inject it with some little bit of, listen, I write poems about heartbreak all of the time. Okay. Cause all the time is heartbreak.
Sorry.
What's funny, man?
Oh, it wasn't supposed to be funny. My bad.
You're the only one left.
Well, it's only you and me here. So, you know.
And them.
Right, but we wouldn't be able to hear them.
Okay. Let's move on.
So anyway, I understand your opinions. So and he's like, this chapter, I'm sorry, Marcus, if it's hog garbage, and he's like, dude, this is good. Like, you are so hard on yourself. Like, it needs to be fixed up a little bit, but let's work on it, let's talk about it, and then like try and get some more down for your editor. Speaking of, they're throwing this like, I guess they do this thing in September where it's like all the books that are coming out in the literary year. And it would be a huge deal if N.R. Strickland came. Of course, he's like incognito. Yeah. And he's like, just think about it. I told your publisher I would ask, your editor I would ask, and that's all I'm going to do. But you should really think about it. And of course, he reiterates how he doesn't want to go because of his dad and, you know, all of that. At the same time, Lily's like, I've not heard from this man, Nick, and like, clearly, he's not going to help me find a date to my sister's wedding. I have to do this on my own. At the same time, this new person comes to the publishing house, who's going to be working with her and Edith.
Mark.
And he's British. And she's like, whoa, he looks and sounds exactly as how I have imagined N.R. Strickland to sound. I was like, no, Nick, no, Lily, no. And she's like, it's just so uncanny. It's quite jarring, like, literally. And she's just like, okay. But also at the same time, Mark has, he's feeling the Lily. You know, he's feeling her.
Yeah, you know, he's come by the desk a couple times, say, hey, y'all. Now he's like, hi, guys. Hello, you all right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm new. I know. Anyway, so he just comes by the desk introducing himself to everyone. So she's just like, ooh. And also her other coworker, Danny, I believe.
Yeah, the chatty Kathy who knows all the office gossip.
Yeah, so she also just like, Mr. Mark. Hello, Mr. Mark Darcy. You know? Is his name Mark Darcy in the actual book?
Is it? I don't remember him having a last name.
You can tell me, girl. Let me Google. If his first name is Mark, I'm about to lose my mind.
Why?
Go ahead. Cause I guessed. Like, it was a guess.
So anyway, Mark, so they go out for drinks. And then he was like, I don't have that many friends in New York yet. I just moved here. My one friend had something come up. Like, do you want to go to this comedy show with me? And she was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll go. And then we fast forward to Nick, and he's spending time with Yolanda and
Henry.
Sorry, guys. Yolanda and Henry, and he's being a sad boy because his girl is upset with him, and they're like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, nothing. And they're like, oh, you got a girl problem? He's like, she's not my girl. She's just my neighbor. And they're like, yeah, okay, so why are you sulking then? Like, literally killing the vibe. And he's like, no, it's not, you know. And then his phone rings, and it's Lily, and she's like, help, Tomcat is acting very strange, extra strange, and I need someone to help me take him to the vet. And he spring. I love when men immediately spring up to help. Like,
listen, I like a man who knows that time is, he has to go. You know what I mean? Drop everything. There's nothing more important than this thing at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yes, Tomcat, I believe Tomcat ingested something that it was not supposed to.
A pin or something like that.
Yeah, like something really dumb. And so when he gets to her place, he's just like, I'm so scared of like holding I'm so scared of holding him. Something might be wrong. Like, he keeps shivering. He's afraid when I touch him. Like, I don't know what to do. I have to go to the vet. He's like, don't worry, girl. He calms her down. He's like, yeah, let me help you out. Mind you, he's afraid of cats.
Right.
But it seemed that he picked up Tomcat. Tomcat just, like, snuggled towards him. And she's just like, honestly, I will take him from you, but he seems to like you. So can you just hold him all the way to the vet? He's like, yeah, anything for you, baby.
I wouldn't do that.
I would. That's your partner. Don't what care. Do you want to do? You have to support them.
I would never fall in love with a cat lover.
And you know one thing I love about this, Adelia, this conversation I'm about to have that I'm introducing right now, is that you say all this just for God to laugh at you. So now he's gonna give you somebody who has 5 cats.
Never. God would never do that. My husband would never have 5 cats.
And you guys keep saying, like, you guys don't know the power of the tongue. You say one thing, God does the opposite. In fact, right now he's guffawing.
Belly laugh. No, he's not. Him, he's like, you're right, girl. I would never let you be in love with a feline friend. And he knows that. Oh my God. I saw this dog today. And the person was walking the dog, and it looked so familiar. I can't remember the breed of dog. But I know that it was a dog I knew. And how I knew it was the same dog I was thinking. I was like, this is like that dog from that TV show. But anyways, and then he said, come on, Cheddar. And I was like, Cheddar? Like the dog from Brooklyn Nine-Nine? He's like, yeah. And I was like... It was literally Cheddar's sibling, RIP to the real Cheddar. But like, if you ever watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like, it's that little, like, oh my God, I don't know. Let me look it up. 1 second. This is very important to me right now in this moment.
So did you pet the dog?
No, but he wanted to pet me, but I was shoveling the snow. So like,
you couldn't put the shovel down?
No, I didn't want to put the shovel down.
I haven't watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so I would have to Google to see this dog Cheddar.
This is essentially what the dog looked like. Australian Shepherd? No.
A corgi? You couldn't figure it out?
A corgi!
This is one of the most universally known dogs.
R.I.P. to Captain Holt.
You couldn't figure out the breed?
Fam, look, I want you to look at me clearly, and I want you to be so very honest with yourself. Yeah, how many dog breeds do you think I know?
You can identify a pit bull. You can identify a German Shepherd. Oh, those are the ones that you're afraid of.
Pit bull, German Shepherd, Golden Retriever, Labrador, Poodle, Wiener Dog, French Bulldog.
Dalmatian, you know.
And Dalmatian.
But you couldn't identify the Corgi, which is one of the most...
I couldn't remember Corgi. Do I look like I speak German or something? Like, leave me alone.
Queen Elizabeth had like 3 corgis.
Well, she's dead. Where are the corgis too?
They're still with us.
Oh.
The triplets.
Anyway. They take Tomcat, and Tomcat ate a pin or something, and it kind of like, she has to cancel her date with Mark, and she spends the rest of the time with Nick, and he's like, oh, she's dressed up to go places that don't include me. That's very interesting. At the end of the day, the day's gonna end, because I don't remember what happened after that. But
I think this is when eventually they invite... Girl, his name is Oliver, not Mark.
So Oliver Mark.
So because then I think
she made up a whole new name, and then she was so proud of herself.
No, but there was a Mark in this book. There was.
She said Mark Darcy? And I was like, I don't even think they gave us Oliver's.
There was a Mark in the book. I think Mark was the boss of Edith.
Yes.
Or the assistant of some sort who left. And then Oliver came in from the UK. Okay, so because she felt bad about the date, I think Oliver decides to like replan it for her, or I think it's like a birthday of some sorts, and they go out together.
Yeah,
so
with like all the other worker people.
Yes.
So, and then Nick is invited somehow.
Nick is invited. He's invited, or they found him there.
Either way, sorry guys, but either way, they all end up in the same place, and Oliver Mark can tell that these two got something going on. Okay. Everybody can tell. Even Danny, who's the chatty Cathy of the office, she's like, girl, you have two men chasing you. And she's like, no, he's just my neighbor. Lily, shut up, man. Shut up.
We're just friends, you know, just friends. Right. But okay. So I can confirm here that she texted him saying that she's going out with her coworkers to celebrate something happened. Oh my God. God, give me the answers now. And then he's just like, yeah, I can meet you at that address. Go ahead. Sorry.
So then she, at one point, her and Nick are dancing. And let me tell you guys, there's just something about dancing. Let me not expose myself. But anyway, there's something so sensual about dancing.
There's something about dancing I really love, especially when you have your back towards a person. I love it. And it doesn't have to be what you're all thinking. It doesn't have to be, you know, winding down or anything. It can just be a little sway left to right, you know, just feeling. And then the arm is creeping on the pelvic bone. Like, you know, like it's really cute. It's very sensual, very nice. It reminds me of Love Jones when they went on their first date to the Wild Rabbit or some sort. And they were dancing in that, like, Jamaican underground club. I love that scene so, so much. And he's looking at her like, okay, girl, I see you got the moves. She's just like, who told you I can't dance? He's like, oh, I see you can dance. Love is sweet. It is. Anywho, so they're dancing and everyone's looking at them. Well, everyone, Oliver is probably like, okay, I thought he was your friend, your neighbor. It seems like your neighbor friend is more than that. At some point during the night, Oliver says, well, I have to go, y'all. I'm practicing for a marathon. Oh yeah, I remember saying, what? A triathlon?
I think it is a marathon. You swim, cycle?
Oh, it's a marathon. Okay. So he's practicing for a marathon, which honestly, a man at that age, they always want to run. Someone said, why is it when we turn 30, you all want to start running? It's actually crazy.
Yeah,
because why did I have the same thought? Last year I had the same thought. So yeah, I should do a marathon.
I think that's just because everybody was either running or walking in a club. Like, it just, you know, hey.
Yeah, it's nice to run and go nowhere.
People say that. I say running outside, you're not just running in a path-like circle.
Yeah, that's what it is. I say it's nice to run. Oh, and they're talking
about like people who use treadmills because they're really going nowhere.
Yeah. Oh no, the treadmill, Stairmaster, you're not. Trust me, heaven is really now, high. You're on. Never
going. The Stairmaster got my booty looking good. Okay, she is my friend and my enemy. She, you know, when Zane wrote Pillow Talk, he was writing about me and the Stairmaster, my enemy, my ally.
Let me move on. So DJ started playing a reggae mix. Oliver, you know, he was sliding up to her, asking her to dance. She said, okay. Nick felt a little jealous. He comes back. He dances with her instead. Mm-hmm. They sit down. I gotta go practice for this marathon thing. And she's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm just gonna stay here. Danny has to leave for some strange reason. So now it's just Nick and
Lily. Not a strange reason. Danny always has 17 plans, 37 people to meet. And she says, if you're not gonna take Oliver, let me know because I need a piece of that pie. Okay, that shepherd's pie. And then Oliver also has to go, and he thought like she would go with him, and then he was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, y'all wanna stay together and get him. At this point, the tension between the two from the last weekend when they were together and they were kissing, making out, for him to running off the next morning, it's quite thick. Okay, there's fog in the club. Okay, and it's not the sweat coming from our bodies from all this dancing. So at some point, he's just like, you know what? I think this is the moment I have to tell this girl. I have to tell her. I don't think he tells her in the restaurant though. I think they go outside to walk home.
And they kiss and something. And then she's like, Nick, you keep saying you don't want to be with me, but I, like, there's something here. Like, let's just be together. Yeah. And then he's like, I can't do that. I'm N.R. Strickland. And she's like, no, you're not. And he's like, and he's no. Like, I am. And she's like, that doesn't make sense. He's like, yeah, I know. I was just afraid because, you know, it felt too real and I felt like I was going to ruin something else if I continued with you, and you did ruin it, idiot. And, I stopped, and that's why I didn't come to the video call, and I deleted the email because I couldn't bear with it. And I ended up moving to New York. I had no idea we would see each other, let alone be neighbors with one another. Like, and I knew immediately after some conversation with you, and I tried to separate myself, but I couldn't do it. And I'm sorry. And she's like, so you've known this whole time, and you've listened to me complain about this N.R. Strickland person. You have listened to me complain about trying to find a date. And you, at no point you thought you owed me the respect of being honest. And he was like, well, I did think those things, but I'm sorry, but I love you, Lily. I love you bad.
No, he didn't say that. He didn't say he loved
her. He didn't say
he loved her in that moment. He did?
No, I said that. I don't think he did.
No, I don't think he did. But, you know, honestly, he could have. Might as well, after doing a whole confession of a paragraph. Anyway, she tells him, I have to go. You can leave me alone. This leaves him absolutely heartbroken. But let me tell you one thing I like about my boy, Nick.
Oh, when he printed all the emails.
This is somebody, we're gonna dive into attachment styles. This is somebody who is securely attached.
You think?
Because. No. I think he's, what do you think he is? I think he's dismissive?
Anxious. Or avoidant, yeah. What are you talking about?
Avoidant and anxious. Well, but I'm maybe in terms of like his conflict, because at this point I would expect someone like him to completely run off and call himself a bastard, and I'm a horrible person, don't want to bother her anymore. But I feel like he just had a lot more explaining to do, and so he just needed to get his story out there. I think some of y'all just don't want to work things out. I'm just gonna say some of y'all don't like to work, but relationships take work, friendships take work, so put in the work. For him, just like that explanation was very rushed. She was upset. Let me print out these emails. I'm gonna show her. So he knocks at her door. She looks at her little peek hole. She said, Nick. He's just like, please. He's there standing like, please. Please open up. And she doesn't want to talk to him. She's quiet for the most part. He's out there saying, hey, I know you don't want to talk to me, and I can see from you. It's basically when Cordell was telling Serena at the dock, hey, I want you, I need you, and Serena's just like, give me a moment, please. Cordell said,
because the sound comes up every time he says, I do want you. I do, with his little southern drawl.
I do.
They will never make a better season of that show.
Absolutely not. I knew Cordell felt something when he's just like, I want to continue stuff with you. And my girl said, and he's just like, nah, this girl can say no to me. No, he felt it, like he lost her for real that moment.
Yeah.
And that's what he was begging. I do. He's like, I'm begging you, girl. No, I'm not gonna, Serena, you are a, I will say this till the day I die. Serena Page, you are a strong woman, because in that moment, me, Hannah, folded. I'm telling you, I have given him.
No, Serena's a very, whatever you want to call
me, weak. I have forgiven you. Let's go.
She's a very, like, I've never seen somebody who's more sure of herself in every which way, like, really and truly.
I am super inspired by her behavior. Anyway, so Lily is just standing there. You know, he's talking, and she's just like, okay. And he hands her this like stack of papers. It's basically the emails that he wished he sent to her every time he was just sitting there quiet. Like, I'm like, I've messed up and everything. Oh, a man who writes.
Now most of you, all that's, you know, is WYD. Hey, Jesus. Lord, the man you sent down here to... Huh?
I said they're getting worse every generation.
Literally.
Because my father's generation can't write. I know the ones nowadays, y'all can't write.
Well, they can't spell, so there's that.
And at some point, I understand it's the educational system, but hey, at 28, you have to teach yourself to read and write.
You gotta pull out the phonetics.
Dictionary.com. Like, it's time to download Collins. In fact, no, go old school, go to the library and borrow the thick dictionary that have the little, like stamps on the side, like the clips on the side, so you know which letter to go for.
Get you an encyclopedia, baby. It's time to learn something.
Now get you a thesaurus, okay? Maybe you'd understand what Kendrick Lamar was trying to say sometimes. Anyway, I'm just saying. Anyway, so she closes the door. He's just like, okay. But it was not enough, okay? It was not enough. So as she's, I think she spends a couple days like reading through the emails.
And I was just swooning.
Like, damn. Sorry?
And I was swooning through all the emails. Like,
girl.
Let me see if I can find one. We haven't done a quote in so long.
I'm just going to read it right now. It's 10 out of 10. So... yeah, as she was spending those days reading the emails, he was heartbroken in his little house that has no furniture but a bed frame and a TV. And at some point, like, he has this thought that she needs a stool because she can't reach up to get the food for Tomcat in her sister's apartment. So he goes down to the convenience store to buy a stool for her. And when he does, he goes back up and he's just like, he knocks on her door, and at this point, he's begging her. He really is. He's saying, girl, listen, I know I lied to you, but you have to forgive me. You have to forgive me. I'll never lie to you again. Like, I swear to God that this is really hard for me. I try my best to try and stay away from you, but it's really difficult because I feel like we have such a strong connection and everything. And in that moment, she does tell him to come in.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing leads to another. And,
Oh, it's the last one that he wrote before, when,
go ahead.
Like, when Tomcat got sick. Because that's so cute that he kept writing. I just left you and Tomcat. You told me you were thinking of dating one of your coworkers. I think I could hear my heart breaking when you said that. I want you to be happy. It's all I've ever wanted for you. And it's selfish that I want you to be happy with me because I don't know if you can be, but I want to try. I would try my fucking hardest to do right by you. And that means I'll have to tell you the truth. I hope you won't hate me. Well, we do.
I will.
Stupid fool. Yeah. Because for the whole book, Odelia kept screaming, tell her, tell her, tell her.
Yeah. Because he should have told her because it was just it was too much.
Yeah, and then something.
I feel like I might have skipped. Okay, so I feel like there's something I forgot to mention. But prior to them even going out with Oliver and Danny, when she went to Marcus's party, Marcus introduced her to a children's writer.
Yeah.
And I think his name was like Francesca or something along those lines.
Yeah, some lady who worked for like this very diverse children's fantasy, children's publishing house. It was like new and yes. Chic and very, I know this word is very overused right now, but very DEI. speaking of, did you hear another plane crash today?
What plane crash?
At Pearson. Delta Airlines.
Oh, really? The weather?
No, it like the flipped weather? Over. It landed like upside down.
And then on its back?
Yes.
Damn, any casualties?
Thank God, no.
As I told that's you, so unfortunate.
It's an American airplane. Apparently they've been crashing everywhere.
To be honest, the thing is that the country that makes the most hardware for planes, it's not Americans, is it?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know anything about aerospace. Aerospace?
Yeah, aerospace. One thing I want to say, y'all, like, there are certain places you can cut back costs, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
A plane is not one of them.
A plane is not one of them. It's just not because it's even incredible to think that a human mind came up with an idea that put everybody in this box of steel and fly them into the air. For kilometers, thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers, you can't cut back costs on that. You can't take sellotape and just tape down a plane wing, okay? You have to You have to crack down the root. You have, this is not a surface level. You have to go to the root of the problem. This
Donald
is
the Trump, root of the problem. Donald Trump has the penguins from Madagascar building the planes.
Girl, it's not the penguins. It's the freaking monkeys. Right.
And the penguins doing air control.
They're doing air control. They're negotiating, exchanging pebble for pebble, trying to figure out how much. Like, don't they know we need hardcore dollars?
Maternity leave? You're all males.
For those who don't know, Odilia loves Madagascar.
Escape to Africa. It is the funniest movie.
But I'm going to tell you right now, for me, DreamWorks takes the cake for me.
Amazing.
Between that and Shrek,
yeah.
Y'all in the writer's room were doing God's work. Till this day, from the first time I watched till now, it's hilarious and relevant. And I think, honestly, it makes more sense for adults to watch it than kids. Mailman, we love you.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, Motomoto.
I think Motomoto likes you.
I like them big. Oh, when you're big. Like chunky. And you're chunky.
Amazing animation. They don't do it like that no more. But anyway, so back to the book. So, yeah, so she meets this person and she's been writing, trying to get interviews. She even emailed this lady from the party, but nothing yet. And then on top of that, Nick has come with his own issues. At the same time, though, Nick keeps getting a call from an unknown number. And from the first call, it's like, Nick, pick it up. It's your mom. Like, if you know your mom is likely to, like, disconnect her line, like, I don't know. Anyway, so he's been ignoring this phone number. At the same time, though, I think Lily chooses to forgive him.
Yeah, so I got it mixed up because when he gets her the stool to her place, she's like, okay, cool, like, whatever, thanks, it's fine. And then she just spends the rest of, I think, a couple of days later just trying to, you know, get back to her regular scheduled programming. And she tries to message Francesca once more, but just because on holiday, you know what I mean? So she's worried that, by the way, Lily, it must be hard, like, trying to leave the industry. And she's so close because you're in the industry, but you cannot, like, break through into the one that you want.
No, I really resonate with Lily because I feel like I'm in her position. And it's so life-draining. Let me just say that. It's like you're almost there, but you're not. Yeah, it's dehumanizing. That's what it is. So when she was, like, doing all those things for Edith and, like, emailing and nobody thinks you're doing anything, like her parents being like, what do you, like, do something. It's like, trust me, she's trying. She doesn't like making below a livable wage. I promise you that much. You know, the average person doesn't find themselves attracted to bum behavior. So.
Yeah. True. So after the whole stool incident happened, Oliver, you know, she wants to do like a second date with Oliver. He invites her somewhere. And I forgot where they go. It's like some sort of like establishment that is really like, you know, cool and underground and unknown. And while they're there, he asks her a question about why she decided to go out with him. He's basically doing the same thing that in the other book that we read where he goes out with the girl. He's just like, listen, I feel like you like that other boy. I don't know why you said yes to me today. So he asked her the same question. She's just like, listen, that guy's my neighbor, but I don't know. I feel like I have deep feelings for him of some sorts. And he's just like, okay, cool. Like, I mean, in that case, and that's the moment she realized, like, I'm just going to forgive this man because I really, really like him. And I just can't shake him off.
Love is such a poisonous thing because you love him, like, you'll forgive. I don't think what he did was not forgiving. Oh, mind you, she went to Miami with her sisters, did she not? And she told them about the issue. I swear she told them, and then she was like, he did something dishonest, and that's why I can't really be with him anymore. And then something happened. But then they were like, well, if it's something forgivable, then forgive him because he clearly very much cares about you. And at the same time, I think the sis, Violet finds it. That's when she finds out that what's his face is sleeping with, you know,
Misha Brown or whatever. Milona Benona.
Yes. Which is then leads into the plot of the partner plot because, you know, if you don't know, go listen to our episodes and then read the book. Actually,
in that moment, her sister decides that she's going to do an anti-wedding.
Yeah.
Everything's already paid for. Might as well celebrate.
I hear it.
So the marriage that could have been, and thank God didn't happen.
Amen.
Yeah. So yeah, she has a conversation with sister. So everybody's in her ear, and then Oliver saying that, you know, like, if you don't like me, then maybe you should go for him instead. It just solidified in her head that she needs to go find her man. Go get your man, girl. And so from there, she goes back to the apartment. Instead of going to her place, she goes to his. She knocks on the door, and there he is, her little boo. And, you know, they get to doing what people do who are in love with each other.
All night long. All night.
Yeah. So they do make it to Levis. Whoa. It's like 5 chapters. Where were you?
Why does she know the number?
No, it's like chapter 20, I remember.
She knows the exact chapters that those are. She flipped through them. She said, okay.
You know, because I said reconciliation now. Okay? Now. Because, you know, it's that point when you reach that point of the book. Where
It's getting too thin.
it needs to end today. So I'm glad it happened, because I was just like, we can't hold on like this for too long. I do want to appreciate the slow burn of this book. I do like the slow burn.
I didn't actually feel like it was a slow burn.
To a slow burn.
I didn't feel slowed 100%. Or burned.
That's because we're reading fast.
That's also true.
Because I inhaled this book in a day as well. But it was a slow burn because I kept going. I'm just like, you know, forget. Like, I'm asleep at 3 a.m. Let's go.
No, you're right. But I think it was less of forgive. It was more like tell her. Tell her. Tell her.
Yes, tell her. And I felt like this is the opportunity right now. Yes. Go.
Tell her now.
I'm like, okay. Today.
How about now? No, instead your dumbass is making cupcakes and bringing it to her family function. But you still aren't going to tell her?
I think the thing that would trip me off the most is like, you're doing all that, then you make out with me like you want me, and then you say, I can't do this.
I'd be like, whatever mind games they taught you, I don't want any parts.
I'd have to slap you just so I can.
So we're even.
It will mess up with my psychology. I'm just like, wait, does he like me or not? Like, this is so weird. He tells me he doesn't like me, but he's actually telling me that he does.
Mm-hmm. Lily's better than me. I'm too grown for that. I've decided in the year of our Lord 2025, if you're not like, I can't do this.
I can't do it. I want a straight shooter. Okay, you don't miss a target. A straight shooter. Okay, one round. Okay,
100% rate. Okay.
I don't want this higa higa. You're missing. No. Cupid's bow straight to the heart.
Bloop.
No missing. Oop. Okay. So now we're going to get into the point of the chapter. I dropped my book. Now we're going to get to the point of the book where we start to address the phone calls that have been coming through. So it seems that his mommy has been trying to reach him. Mm-hmm. What we know from previous chapters is that he's kind of estranged to his family, particularly his father, because of, you know, who he is. That's why he has the whole pseudonym as well. Pseudonym,
yeah.
Is that what you call? Yes, the name for it. But his mom has been trying to reach him because she decided that she's going to leave his father for good.
And then his father stupidly, like, broke his leg or something.
His dad did some dumbass thing, and now he needs to go to the hospital. He's treatment, or he's going to end up with no legs.
Okay, that's and not... So... No legs! Girl.
Sorry. Because you never know, it might be an infection, they have to amputate it, and like, you know, now you got no leg. Or you just have one leg.
Okay. So then anyway.
He's a very reckless man. He goes, yes. You know.
So, and then at this point, him and Lily had kind of reconciled and did. So she's like, well, now you for sure can't go to the M&M party because it coincides with your dates to go see your parents. And he kind of was preparing himself to, like, he wanted to go now. Like, he liked it. I think also this comes Yeah, this comes after he takes her on this date. It's an amazing date. So they both love that one female fantasy author, and he figured out that she doesn't do meet and greet outside of her city because she hates flying. So he drives Lily to New Jersey or outside of New York City to go to the meet and greet so that she can get her book signed by her. And it was like completely a surprise. And I love, to be loved is to be known. And
honestly, this book is, this love story is for book lovers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, the nerds, the introverted people who love their little like obscure type of like vibe. I love it.
It was so very cute. So post that, he now has to go to the North or South, I don't know, one of the Carolinas, and deal with his family stuff. And his mom is like Hannah said, she's adamant that this time she's for real gonna leave. So he like even helps her get an apartment, like everything. But she can't like abandon his dad in the hospital. But she knows that he's like able to pay for the hospital bills, put the down payment on the apartment, pay for physio for the dad, buy groceries.
Yeah.
And she's not asking, but she's like, what the heck does this boy do for work? And I think at some point in the grocery store, he kind of listens to what Marcus and Lisa like have been saying to him about like you about his dad, because obviously he has the pseudonym because of his dad. And they both are kind of like, your dad doesn't have to have access to you if you don't want him to. And I think like for a lot of people, like it's hard to come to that conclusion, because your parents are your parents, and family is like the one thing that people really struggle to create boundaries with. So at some point he was like, Mom, just to let you know, I'm an author. I wrote this book when I was 19. It didn't take off, and then it did, and now I have a lot of money. And of course his mama don't know nothing about no fantasy, but she's like, okay. And then he's like, and it's going to be a TV show. She said, oh, where can I watch it? That I can get behind. And he's explaining, he's like, I don't know yet. But as soon as he like goes up to the cashier, she's like, you know, my son writes books. Like, take down his book. And then, he explained the book. And then she was like, I'll check it out. And I'm sure it's sitting on her TBR.
I'm sorry. That made me tear up a little bit.
Yeah.
It really did. I think every child, all they want from their parents is to be seen, to be loved. Mm-hmm. And I think in that moment, it's almost like, I've been running from this fear that my parents are a certain way and I have to be a certain way and I have to hide myself and escape from problems. And I think that moment he probably felt himself like, okay, like this is good. This is great. What's happening right now? And it takes a long time to get there, but still I'm really happy that, you know, and you're right, Odila, he's actually more anxiously attached.
Yeah. And when he's driving her back off to the apartment, she sits in the car and she's like, no, to her job. And she's like, I just want to tell you, like, almost like, I'm sorry. She's like, I didn't have any parents. Like, she grew up in foster care and with your dad, because I didn't have this experience, I really wanted you to have both parents. And I didn't realize that because of what I wanted for you, it became detrimental to your life because your father was so inconsistent. And like, I'm sorry about that. And now like, I'm not choosing to do that. Like, that's done. That's over. And you know, and I came at that point, you kind of like, you gotta forgive. You're like, yeah.
You never want to hate your parents.
No, she was just a girl. So, she was just a girl making... And I don't mean that in the silly way. You guys are like, I'm having coffee. She's just a girl. No, but she really was just a girl when she had this kid.
Your mother was a girl once. Your mom has dreams as well. She was just like you. I think that's... There's this Kenyan poet who... I think you shared it with me on TikTok one time. But she did like this whole like poetry slam. And she's talking about her mom. And she's just like, one thing that us... And this is where the mother-daughter relationship gets very, like, lost in society. Because, hey, man. Hey, man. But she was trying to remind us that your mom was just a girl once. Okay. Yeah. She has dreams. She has the hopes. Whatever you're feeling at this age, your mom felt them times too, because society then, like, your mom was our age having kids. And it's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, my life is turned around and mm-hmm. I have to rely on somebody for the most part. Like, I want to be independent. I have to really fight for it. Like,
yeah.
I think that's where I start to, like, step out of my own body and be like, you know what? Like, this is annoying, but my mom is who she is.
Yeah.
Because she was also a woman once, and women suffer every single generation.
And at the same time, though, guys, because I know a certain author is doing a press run right now, and she put out a statement because she also lost her mom after losing her father very quickly. And she talked about, I'm not going to say her name on here because whatever the book is that she has coming out, happy for you, those of you who are going to read it, but she is transphobic. I cannot buy another book from that lady. Sorry. But she talked about, like, you know, because her mom died, she was like, girls are so mean to their mom. And somebody brought up a good point, like, okay, fair. Like, yeah, your mom's just a girl, but, you know, I'm also just a girl. Why is there, you know, less grace given for me, who's experiencing, like, whatever traumas you got plus my own? And so I don't understand, like, not everybody's supposed to forgive your parents. If you have hard boundaries, I actually commend you, because it's very hard to do. You know, and grace can only be given so far. So, you know, but I will say this, women, if you can, please, when you're picking partners to procreate with, really think about what that person will look like as a parent to your child. And if you would really appreciate that, because I think a lot of us can avoid certain choices. Yeah.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
I actually think it's they keep emphasizing the most important decision you can make in your life. I promise you, it's not going to be the job. It's going to be the partner that you end up with, because that your job is going to automatically drain you. Your partner should not be like the job.
Yeah.
You have to spend a lot of time making sure that you are picking the best of the best for you. If not, you're going to waste a lot of time. And I know a lot of people already wasted 10 years of their lives, 5 years of their 20 years. I cannot. And that's why I said I want a straight shooter.
Okay. But back to the book. Nick also has, like, a conversation with his daddy, but I can't really remember what the conversation is. He doesn't really clue him into too much, but he kind of just, like, he accepts his dad for who he is at this point.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. His dad was laying down, you know, drugged up and stuff, and he looks over his son and he's like, he's one of those men. But at that point, honestly, you only need one good parent, y'all. I'm sorry. You need one parent you can work with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. And at this point, after the whole cashier thing, telling the mom that and her leaving that man and him acting that way, hey, man, you won. A win's a win.
So then back to New York, Lily, her sister is having a anti-wedding party, and she sent out invites, and basically her mother is not happy about it, which I remember her mentioning in the partner plot. So her parents drive up to basically confront Violet about this, and she comes in as mothers do, and she's like, how can y'all live like this? This is here, this is there, you know. Very mom of her. Lord, I can't believe one day I'm gonna be like that too. But at the same time, though, Iris is also there, and it's like a whole green get together, and they're going back and forth, and for some reason Lily comes up, and then they're like, Lily's like, first of all, I lied. Like, I didn't have a boyfriend. The boyfriend was Nick, and Nick was, like, she's explaining, and she's like, you don't need to know the details, but it's because none of you treat me like the adult that I am. You all treat me like a child, to go to this event, to do this, to date this person. I don't want to do those things. I have a life plan for myself, and what you should do is respect my decisions and to support me through them. At the same time, though, her phone is dead, so she hasn't been able to talk to Nick all day, and they've had a little weird energy, just, you know, they've been apart. And at the same time, stupid Edith is calling because she forgot something that she wants her to bring to the M&M party from across town, and she decides to go do it. And she shows up to the party, and I don't remember what Edith did something that was that disrespected for so, the last time.
I'll tell the audience.
Okay.
So she's looking through the crowd trying to find Edith. Edith is like at the back of the crowd talking to some other person there. And so when she runs up to Edith and saying, hey, Edith, like, here's the stuff you're looking for. She's just like, oh, thank God, like, whatever. And they just have started having a conversation. And Edith basically starts to insult her while in front of this person talking about, like, you know, you're not that competent, to be honest, to do such ask. Like, I think for me, the issue is like, okay, fine, you hate me, I know, right?
Yeah.
But you do it behind closed doors. Now you're doing it in front of other people, which is embarrassing for me. Okay. So in that moment, Lily just has like, it's just like, honestly, I can't go on like this. Like, I'm basically enslaved to this woman and I cannot do this. So you know what she does? She does what any person should do in a situation like that, where money is not even worth it, y'all. I quit. And even this, like, excuse, she almost chokes in her sangria, whatever she's drinking, that old witch. And she walks away. She's like, yeah, done. Done and done. She walks away. Edith's calling her name. She doesn't care. She goes to a table where I believe her coworkers are. She was surprised to see them. She's like, oh, my God, Oliver. Oh, my God. Danny, you're here. What's going on? And she, so this is where it gets, and I don't like this.
Sorry. So the thing was also Nick had said he was coming and then he said he wasn't. Yeah. So now his editor has like N.R. Strickland's not coming, as we mentioned. People don't know what N.R. Strickland looks like. So no, but prior to this, him, Marcus, and his publisher, editor, sat and had breakfast because he
met for the first time.
Because he like we said, he was working towards the step of being like, maybe I do want to not be, you know, hide behind anonymity anymore. And so his editor was like, yeah, they're coming, not coming. So while he left the Carolinas, he was like, I really want to see Lily. Like, I want to tell her that I love her and like, she means the world to me. And like, I don't want to ruin this. And I really want to put effort towards this. And because she wasn't picking up her phone, he just got on the next flight. I love a down bad man. He just got on the next flight and then he went to her apartment. Huh? Mm-hmm.
And so he always has an action plan. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He just go. Oh, love it.
And then he goes to her apartment, sees the whole family there, and they're like, she's not here, she went on a work mission. So he ended up at the M&M party in sweatpants, which he could have, like, in hindsight, you live next door, you could have changed. So when he opens the elevator, he's scanning for Lily can see him, but she's not yelling about it. But now the editor knows him, is like, Nick. And then they're like, N.R. Strickland's here. And then they're like, get on the stage, N.R. Strickland, and say something. And he's like, basically, I didn't have plans to be here. I came here specifically to see one person. And
that's where I'm sorry, y'all.
What does he say? Oh, my God. Where's my book? Oh.
In front of all these people. Please, not in front of all these people. Okay, so. This anti-wedding thing is so funny.
Oh, and Lily finally got an interview with Francesca, and it's yes. Going well. That's what also prompts her to quit, because she's like, you know,
oh my God, I went straight to acknowledgements.
One second, guys, we're just finding it. No, I'm so close to it. Hannah, entertain the people.
I think for me, what's about to happen next reminds me of
found it.
Honey and Spot.
So, so he says, hi, I'm N.R. Strickland. I wrote The L's of Sarah Dawn, which all of you know, because Vincent just said that. I'm obviously not British, as you might have been told. I grew up in North Carolina eating barbecue and hot dogs and apple pie and all the other stereotypical American foods. Just to clear up some rumors, I'm not dead. I'm only one person, not multiple people, and I have spoken to Zara before, who is amazing, by the way. I wrote this book when I was 22 years old. I was a college senior with great grand plans that didn't come to fruition. I lied about my backstory for several personal reasons. I'm sorry that made you all believe I was someone I'm not. What's true is that I am the author of The Elves of Sarah Dawn. This story and its characters came from deep inside of me. I needed Deco to survive despite the many life challenges he experienced, because I need to survive the challenges in my life too. I gave up on this book and the idea of being an author, but I've learned that sometimes we're lucky enough to get a second chance. I'm so thankful for everyone here who had a hand giving elves a new life, but I didn't come here tonight to talk about my book. I came to the party because I was looking for someone who means a lot to me, more than my career, more than anything, really. She's the best part of my life, and I want her to know that if she'll let me, I'll spend forever returning the favor. Thank you. Have a good night. You know, I would be in that party like, stop, no cameras.
I would have been so embarrassed, Adelia.
I was just standing there like, oh. Like,
for me, like, there's something about a display, that large, large display that brings attention to me that I would just, I don't know what I'll do in that moment. It reminds me, again, I was going to say before you interrupted me with your speech, that in Honey and Spice, he did the exact same to her when he was announcing his story, like his video.
Right.
And talking about Kiki. And I was just like, like, I get secondhand embarrassment.
So guess I'm different.
It's like people who do those mob dances.
No, you cannot compare that.
I don't want that.
You cannot compare the two.
That's what it feels like to me. Anywho, so he goes up to her. After he's done with his speech, he goes down to her and he tells her, like, I tried to call you so many times. Like, oh my God, my phone died. He's just like, yeah, I just really, really wanted to see you. So I flew back as soon as possible. I just wanted to know that, you know, I hear you. Because they had a little stinge. It was mm-hmm. small.
Oh, yeah. He like yelled at her because he was stressed.
He was stressed out with the, you know, that his parents are back in his life. His world has had a huge, huge change. So he's trying to adjust mm-hmm. to it, understandably. And so that's why he flew back, as part of the reason. And he tells her that he loves her, and she says, you know what, I understand, don't worry, I love you too.
And that's basically it. They go to the anti-wedding party, they have a good time. He finally gets furniture.
I think she gets the job.
Yeah, she gets the job as well. Yeah,
so you see, her house got bigger. She got the job. She got the man. Hey, Gabriel Union, thank you for your contribution. And yeah, that's how the story ends. And I actually love it when authors who have continued books always give us snippets of the first, like, couple pages of the next book. I love that. I love when y'all do that. Thank you. But yes, and so that's how that one ends, you guys. Ugh. What a joy. What a joy it is to be alive with somebody like Christina Forrest. Christina Forrest, this is just for you. Christina Forrest, I rated your book a 10 out of 10. I thought it was fantastic from page one to the last page. Even the acknowledgments, everything about it was perfect. I read this book in a day. Okay. Odilia just told me that, hey, I'm by the way, I'm starting on the book. I got the audiobook. I went to Libby. I saw I have 10 weeks to wait. I said no. So I picked it from my shelf because we bought it earlier. We were supposed to read the part. We were supposed to read them first, but we got it mixed up. So we have to partner. Girl, listen, we're here now. That's all that matters.
Okay.
Anywho, I thought it was such wonderful writing. Every character, I loved them. I loved how you described his love for her and vice versa. When he was like the descriptions of, he was cataloging all the aspects about her so he can save it for himself later that night. Like, there's just like certain descriptions where I said, this is so sweet. This book is for all book lovers. It is so swoon. I felt giddy. I felt my stomach jump up and down. I was just excited. Like, I love reading a book that just gets me excited. I wake up in the morning, all I can think about is reading the neighbor favor. I was going to say partner club. Lord have mercy. I'm going to say right now, we're going to read Lyrics Love next. Sorry, y'all. Now you know. The love lyric. God. Y'all, listen, I'm going on vacation very soon. Right now, half my mind is in the beach, half my mind is in the snow.
Yep.
Okay. These two continents don't meet.
They do, actually. It's the same continent that they, like, they sit on the same. Anyways.
The beach and the snow. I'm talking about the beach and the snow as the metaphor of them being the continent. The beach and the snow, these continents don't meet.
Okay. Sometimes they do because certain countries that get snow have beach. Yeah. Sorry.
That's true, Julia. And because you are a ecologist and you understand rocks and, you know, the shift of the earth, you can tell our viewers not only about Black romance, but also the geographic and geological aspect of the world. Odila, is the earth a sphere?
It is a sphere. It's not flat.
Oh, just checking. Because sometimes y'all start off with a...
What? Not me.
Anywho, 10 out of 10. Love the book. Thank you. Thank you, Christina. Thank you.
I agree. Like, she basically took up all the airtime. Like... But I feel the exact same way. Like, I told you guys at the beginning, I think I told you guys when we were talking about another book, 10 out of 10, no notes, nothing. This is literally the best way you can do a romance. Like, this is it. Like, I was intrigued with every single sentence, with the whole formatting. Like, I don't think I've read a book like this, like, with the idea of, like, being these anonymous pen pals who then happen to, like, meet each other. Like, the whole thing was just, it was perfect.
Yeah, the plot is great.
It was perfect, you know, in the words of what that crazy man from The Boys. No notes. The writing is amazing. The story is amazing. The characterization is great. Literally, this is.
And it's such an easy read as well. Very easy. I think this is our
first 10 out of the 10 for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You are going to end up in our top 5 in December. 100%. It's gonna be there.
Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. Okay.
So, like we said,
on to the next one.
Yes. Next book that we're reading is The Love Lyric. Tell us how you feel about the book. If you've read the book, are you reading the book? What books you are reading? Which books you aren't reading? You can tell us all those details. At TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, or here if you're watching us on YouTube. Hi. Don't forget to like and subscribe and follow. No, that's what that means. But follow us on the other ones as well at Romantically Lit. You can always also email us at romanticallylit@gmail.com. And yeah, that's all I got. Hannah?
Nothing.
All right.